So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great, but all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
Here we go. Hour 5 of the G-Bag Nation. We are in the midst of the G-Bag of the year. Started it back there at 5:30 where we replay all the champs from 2025's G-Bag of the day and crown the annual winner. And for the continuation of this segment, we go back into the Pimp Cup where Lucius Alexander has the remainder of your nominees.
When we left off, it was Bobby Bell going at Scott Braun for talking dirty on the G-Bag Nation. Up next, let's go to September. September after the Crawford Canelo fight. Oh, what a great time it was out there. Oh, my gosh. So many celebrities. What a great fight. But my man Teddy Atlas was charged up after that fight. And I loved it. Went on a rant.
Terrence Bud Crawford came into Las Vegas, went up two weight classes to challenge Canelo Alvarez for the undisputed super middleweight championship, and he won it running away, Teddy. How impressed were you by his performance tonight?
You kidding me? A beautiful display. That's the sweet science.
Yeah.
That's what it is. That's what we talk about when we talk about the sweet science. All night long, Crawford made Canelo a day late, a dollar short. All night, talking about the bigger man, the advantage of the bigger guy. How about the faster guy? How about the smarter guy? How about the quicker guy? How about the guy not only won on the outside, but even beat him at his own game on the inside?
Yeah.
Please, Timmy, I don't want to say no more.
Look, you can't stop God's plan. I told everybody at home that would listen. Anybody that was out there, I told you. I've been in the ring with Bud Crawford. He's a phenomenal fighter. He was something different years ago. He's a lot better fighter now. What a damn performance he put on tonight. What a clinic. He beat Canelo in every avenue. Inside, we was talking about strength. He was stronger than Canelo. We talking about power. He took his power well. Canelo was very timid when he was approaching Crawford.
Damn right he was timid. Because every time he went to get in, I mean, after words like, the best thing I could do is not throw. Put my hands in my pocket.
Goes, I can't say no more.
I can't say no more.
Let's jump back in.
Teddy's the best,
you're damn
man.
Right, he was timid.
Yeah. Teddy's so good.
I love him, man. Him and his son. I watched their
passion.
Podcast.
Yeah.
I watched their podcast. All right. This one right here.
Hey.
Oh, yes.
Up. I'm tired of waiting on you.
Madonna's last great song.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. All right, let's see here. October 14th, Michael Irvin, the playmaker, Michael Irvin goes off on a podcaster that said Deion Sanders was not fast enough to cover the receivers of today. That triggered Michael Irvin because now you're saying we suck as receivers back in those days or whatever the case may be.
Oh, you found this one.
Well, Eric found it online for me. I could not find it in the folder because there's two that I just could not find from October because we do not have those October folders anymore during the move situation. But we did find it online. It sped up a little bit, which is good for our timing. But here's Michael Irvin going off.
We are the two most accomplished receivers in the history of this game. When you're talking about the most important things, championships, and your stupid ass talking about running fast, like people weren't running fast back then, are you shitting me? Why do you talk on a microphone? Why do you have a microphone? What the hell are you talking about? I don't even know your name.
You know your
and
name.
I certainly don't know your game because I don't see you every year with a gold jacket in that Hall of Fame room. I don't see you anywhere great players are. So who the f*** are you to talk about what, Deion Sanders couldn't cover these guys today? First of all, do you really know what you're talking about? You come from a damn era of everybody gets a trophy in NIL where nobody fights for a starting job. I ain't starred. I'm going to go leave and start somewhere else. Get the f*** out of my face talking noise until you know what you're talking about. I will dominate this era of football. Dominate. I don't mind you being stupid. I don't mind you being dumb. I don't mind you not knowing what the f*** you're talking about. But keep my name out your mouth when you don't know what you're talking about. Keep my name and my image. Don't try to on my work when I won championships on every level. On every level. When they can knock me out.
Yeah.
Compassion. You're wrong. Pain. Y'all don't do that. Y'all ain't never had to do that. So shut the hell up.
You can knock them out.
That's really good.
Yeah. Because he spits at the camera when he says that on the video, man. Mike was passionate, brother. Mike was passionate.
Now I'm realizing now you're playing the ABBA song. Yeah, I should have known you play the original.
It's okay. I mean, I heard Both Madonna. Bangers. I heard Madonna. I heard her. I was going to go with Madonna at first, and I said, let me go to that ABBA. Mm. Just let them know I know something out here.
Yeah, you do.
Now, October 7th, Gavin Dawson had an honorary G-Bag of the Year nominee.
I was robbed.
Yeah,
you were.
I usually vote against myself, though.
You were robbed, because that was a good one. Shake It Out one time? Come on, bro. We lost that.
I want to see him shake that thing out.
See, I do it with my knee. I get this air bubble in my knee, and I'm walking, and I kick my leg out. I shake it out.
Shake it out one time.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
Shake it out one time.
Tyreek Hill is laying on the sideline with his leg at a 90-degree angle.
I got some. Hold on. I just got something to replace it.
Tank was just a little bit more quiet and professional, you know, or quiet and didn't want to, you know, say his side of the story as much. Remember when Tyron Smith was hotter than a whole nest of firecracking hornets back there?
Firecracking hornets. I think that was the same day as the dudes thing.
Man, I was on one that day.
You're on a roll.
Hotter than a whole nest of firecracking hornets.
Firecracking hornets.
I think that's a Jerryism. Should be.
It should be. One more story from you, brother.
Yes. I played a flag football game about 5 or 6 years ago, and it felt like every muscle in my lower half was coming off the bone for about 2 weeks. Do not do that again.
Yeah, the groins, bro.
Yes.
The groins are bad.
It felt like I'd pulled my butt cheeks apart.
My bolt cheeks.
Oh, no.
Huh? Yeah. Wait a second.
Like the muscles on the very inside of your butt.
Okay.
Right,
the
cheeks come together.
Yeah.
I pulled those. Like muscles I didn't even know were there.
You saying you tore your crack?
Yes, I pulled my crack. That's what it is. Thank you, Wolchuk. You got me home there.
That's a Dwight Howard injury.
I pulled my butt crack.
Suck it up.
All right, man. That's it. G-Bag of the Year 2025. We have all the nominees lined up right there. Wow. By the way, don't forget, if you're hearing this for the first time, we do this G-Bag of the Day thing, 5:30. Playing the best audio from around the world, the internet, radio, TV, it doesn't matter. By the way, my name is...
Each weekday at 5:30, Gavin Lucius and the guys bring you the G-Bag of the Day.
Yes, it is. All right, let's do this.
All righty, it is time to vote. Does everybody have in mind who you're picking? Do you want a recap of the nominees in any way?
No,
are we good?
I think I got it. It's a toughie, but I got it.
Recap it for me if you want.
Okay, you got AI Jerry on why he fired Mike McCarthy. You got Bobby Belt and Sean's fight. You got brought us on the sleeping bags, fan after dark, busting on each other. Coach Ballsack said goodbye. The diss track of the morning show guys from Roberto Belt, April 4th. Bully Melrose was in there during the playoffs, probably late May. July 14th, brought us question for Sandler. July 22nd, the Girthquake Trilogy. My questions, Chief's questions, and Bobby going after Scott Braun, producer of that show with Przinski.
Przinski's in it.
Okay, you got Broadus Glaze and GP. You got Canelo and Crawford, Teddy Atlas bringing the thunder. Michael Irvin defending the goats.
The secret to tracking the ball is just look up, bro.
Yeah, that's all you got to do.
Sorry.
Yeah, he was saying you could see the spin of it.
Yeah, I mean, he had like geometry going on there, but I'm just saying look up.
Just look up, man.
So great.
Up.
He's obviously a savant,
when
it comes to catching it. And then a couple of honoraries there at the end from me. I'm gonna go with,
those good guys cannot tell you, like they can't teach you how to do that. It's just something they do.
Mom and dad.
Yeah, they just can't explain it to you. Yeah. I don't know, man. I just went out there and shook them.
Get out of bed with it.
Yeah.
You got to talk to the scrubs who had to put in work and study it. You know, they can get a real clean explanation for
the future coaches.
Yes. I'm gonna go with AI Jerry, Chief. How about you?
I'm going with the Bobby Diss to Pepe.
That was incredibly talented, well executed. The diss track of the morning show, guys. Lucius, who are you voting for G-Bag of the Year?
Well, I got Broadus on the sleeping bag saved right here. And also got the combo pack with Roddy Tellez.
Rowdy Tellez.
Mm. Damn. Mm.
We're still tied at one, Woolchuck.
Yeah, the Tolos are definitely wanting Rowdy. I got to go with the Bobby Payton diss track. That was hot fire.
It's 2-1-1, Brian.
Okay, here we go. I did my top five. Number five was Michael Irvin. Number four was Bully Melrose. Number three was the diss track. Number two was Teddy Atlas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Got heavy consideration for
and
me.
And Rowdy was number one.
Okay, so we are tied at two, which means we need to jump onto Twitter to determine
look at
who
that.
The G-Bag of the year is. Is it the Girthquake Trilogy? Or is it the diss track from Bobby Belt on the morning show, guys? A cut that made four time, but not five. It's in as an honorary nominee, and it's trying to shock the world here. But actually, not voting that five time made Bobby Belt diss us.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
On a subsequent track.
Sure
so
did.
Tables turned.
Let me get on to at G-Bag Nation right here. I need to create this Insta poll. What do you say? You want to leave this up all weekend?
Hell yeah. I like that idea.
Come back and see it Monday?
Yeah. What about the guy that called the Christian? Yeah, man, that was so good. And the dude called a Christian radio station bitching about the Cowboys.
Yes,
that?
Yes.
It was so good. It didn't go five, though, but it was great, bro.
Okay. At G-Bag Nation, you can follow us all when you get there. Our handles are in the bio. We'll create this poll here for the next a couple of days. Two days and 8 hours or so. Who is your G-Bag of the day? The nominees are the Rowdy Tellez soap opera, I guess you would call that. Mm-hmm. And then our other nominee is Bobby Belt diss track. Okay, so it is going live at G-Bag Nation. Please follow us all when you get there, and we'll have ourselves a time. Okay, it is the G-Bag Nation. You're on 105.3 The Fan, a proper football Friday with Oregon and Indiana. The pregame is going on right now. Hopefully we get a game as good as last night was, Chief. And congratulations to you and the Chiafalo family.
Yeah, absolutely.
For getting Miami in there. That was fun.
Hope you get that credential, man.
I know, dude. I know. I'm gonna be pumped about it. I'm gonna hop on a Spirit Airlines flight and
ruin your back, but it's all worth
it. It's all worth it. It's all worth it.
Your brother can't help with United?
I could look at maybe. The standby, but standby gets a little weird.
It does. It surely does. It's I know true. All about that D3, baby.
Yeah, it's one of them things. Like, my parents got the real hookup. Like, my parents are like,
you gotta decide.
They're
like,
the ace. So they can pretty much go wherever, whenever.
Fair enough.
But I could just get me one of them standby tickets. So I'm a little bit nervous about doing that. But if it comes to it, I'll sit at the airport and miss a million flights until it's time.
I hate when you're sitting already on there and then somebody comes and says, we got to get up. Yeah. There's a person to pay. You're like,
Miracle just eat the whole time he's there.
Yeah. I'm like, bro, let me just lay down in the aisle. Yeah. I'll sit in the bathroom the whole time.
Can I just stand?
Okay, so with that, gentlemen, would you guys like to play a little bit of Wild Card Weekend Football Guy of the Day?
Sure. Yes.
Sure, let's do it.
Sure.
I got your 14 playoff teams. I have their fatal flaw.
Oh.
What would likely get them beat if they do not make it on a Super Bowl run. And I'll go through each team, and then I need you guys to holler out what you think their biggest weakness is, and we'll see which one of you gets it right. And we'll start with the Denver Broncos. The number one seed in the AFC, what is their fatal flaw?
Experience at quarterback.
I mean, Bo Nix, I think, would be. But
I know,
he has been good, right? So, consistent running game, I guess, would be my guess. Like, 'cause their defense doesn't have a flaw, really.
They had the injury to Harvey.
Yeah, Harvey was in Dobbins. I think Dobbins was hurt, and then Harvey started to pick it up at the end of the year, but... If it's not the quarterback, I guess it would be running game.
So what is your official answer?
Running game.
Okay. Chiafalo?
Yeah, I think it would be – it's hard to imagine it's defensive.
Yeah. I don't know what they're – it can't be their secondary.
I think some of their defensive numbers has sort of slid a little bit over the course of the season. But I would just say, yeah, like their deep passing game.
Okay, and I think that point would go to Broadus. It is Bo Nix. He was 25th in off-target rate and 28th in yards per attempt. He threw 11 picks and had 7 more dropped, tied for second. Dude could have thrown 18 interceptions this year. does a great job often of keeping the Broncos on track. His mobility is underrated, but he also plays with fire more than Sean Payton would like. So that is the Denver Broncos, and point brought us here. Number two is the New England Patriots. What is the Patriots' fatal flaw? It would be
something on the defensive side of the ball.
I think it's like, is it Drake May just being sacked?
Pressure.
Good guess. Pressure with Drake May, Brian.
Yeah, I'm going to say it has to do with. I was going to say protection is what I was going to say.
Drake May. Yeah.
They played a weak ass schedule.
Yeah. Weak ass schedule. I like that guess as well. This will be no point, as actually we had a midseason narrative shift. It's their run defense. Wow. Halfway through the season, run defense would have been considered one of New England's strengths. Through the first 9 weeks, they were seventh in defensive rushing success rate. They hadn't allowed a 100-yard rusher. Since week 10, the Pats are dead last by a wide margin in defensive rushing success rate. Injuries have played a big part.
That's stunning.
They have not been good, and they're going to need to remedy that.
Okay, here's a little something to see through that. Big-time injury, Milton Williams. He has returned.
Okay.
I think that is could almost nullify that particular flaw for them.
They're going to host the Chargers on Sunday Night Football, and I did see Omarion Hampton is likely going to play, even though he still is questionable.
Yes.
Yes, he's supposed to be back.
All righty. Playoff team fatal flaws here in the G-Bag Nation on a super wild card weekend football Friday in the nation. Number three is the Jacksonville Jaguars. What is their fatal flaw, gentlemen?
The defense looked pretty good from Brian giving us those numbers earlier. Yeah. I guess maybe this is also running the ball. I mean, could this be like a rushing attack thing? Let's go red zone offense.
Ryan?
I'm going to go, this is hard. I want to think particularly the quarterback's always kind of running.
Yeah.
I'll go with this one on protection because the quarterback's always on the move, running. Quarterback protection.
I'm just going to lean into the Jordan Lewis injury, and they got no names at corner, but their defense is good. I'm going to go with that, like their pass defense.
That's a really good guess as well, but Brian is going to take the point once again. He's up 2-0 in this competition. What happens against some of the elite pass rushers? Sacks can still be an issue. The Broncos sacked Lawrence 5 times in Week 16. The Texans had 5 in Week 10. Seahawks and Rams both had 7 in back-to-back weeks as Trevor Lawrence finished 22nd in sack rate this season. And though he was better in the second half of the year, those issues can still pop up there for the Jags. Let's go to the Steelers. They're going to take on the Texans Monday Night Football, capping it off where everybody knows the history at this point. Yeah. Dome teams playing sub 40 degrees are 1-14. The Steelers are 23-1 in their last 24 home Monday Night Football games.
So for the Texans here, is that what we're looking at?
No, we're looking at the Steelers.
Oh, we're looking at the Steelers.
First, then the Texans.
Oh, I would say.
Big plays?
It's got to be their explosive. Like, everything is at the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, like, downfield
so much
passing.
Yak.
I mean, like 20-plus yard completions.
Air yards.
Yep, you guys nailed it. Steelers had the 6th fewest plays of 10-plus yards this season and the 2nd fewest among playoff teams. Is 6.0 air yards per attempt, lowest in the NFL.
My goodness.
Yeah, okay, so nice job on that one, gentlemen. How about the Houston Texans? What is their fatal flaw? What's going to get Houston beat if they don't make it?
Offensive line. Right? I think it's the rushing attack, offensive line. I don't know if it's pressure or inability to run the football. But that's my guess.
Well, I mean, I saw that stat. The red zone offense is freaking awful.
They
can't run the ball inside the red zone. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, I guess maybe, like, Stroud could help there. So, but that all ties in. The offensive line, the rushing attack. But I think the red zone offense is, like, the worst among all playoff teams.
I'm going to say they can't run the ball.
Yeah, Wolchuk gets the point here. 28th in offensive success rate.
Good Lord.
Overall, 30th in rushing success rate, but it is red zone offense. And
that's brutal.
CBS Sports says they can somewhat make up for it by having arguably the NFL's best defense, which gives them short fields and an occasional big play. But overall, it is ugly. It somehow gets even uglier in the red zone, where they're 30th in touchdown rate. There are too many penalties, 16 red zone penalties, most in the NFL. and runs that go nowhere and hopeless passing plays. Yeah, that field gets shrunk and their ability to throw deep is eliminated at that point. We go to the Buffalo Bills at number six. Gentlemen, what is the Bills' fatal flaw?
Nobody circles the wagon.
It's one of two things. Bills. It's either just no dynamic pass catcher, or it's your run defense.
I'm going to say,
I think they're like, what are they, 30th or something?
We said 29th.
Yeah, it's probably their run defense.
The inside the tackles, they're horrible.
Yeah, and so that's been a problem for 2 years now.
I'm going to say run defense, yeah, just going off what I saw.
Agreed.
Yeah, I'd agree.
You guys all nailed it, but I think Chief Extra nails it because he mentioned the outside wide receivers, which CBS Sports does in this article. Only one team ever has won the Super Bowl while allowing more than 5 yards per rush. And that year, 2006, was the Colts, and Bob Sanders was out for the majority of that season.
Yeah,
came back to the playoffs. and fixed them. All right, there's more teams to go, but we got to go. Chief, a little Friday news dump coming up?
Yeah, let's prep our bodies for the Peach Bowl next in the nation.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Welcome back. It's the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. And this segment of the nation is brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car or truck wreck, call the Frankels first. 214 or 817-333-3333. There's never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. The Frankels are the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. And we'll crosstalk with the Fan after dark here coming up in about 15 minutes. Here's the Chief with that Friday news dump.
Yes, sir. Here we go. Last night was incredible. Can we go 2 for 2 on the college football playoff win and go to the natty situation? Indiana, how about this? Are they turning into a football state right in front of our eyeballs? Known for their basketball, Indiana high schools moved basketball games from Friday to Thursday so people can watch the Peach Bowl tonight.
Yeah.
So some of the biggest basketball rivalries in the state were rescheduled to accommodate Hoosiers football. I feel like that's a pretty big-time moment in Indiana sports history.
I think so, too. And, you know, my mom's side of the family is from Indiana, and whenever we are back there and it's college basketball season, like, they'll leave a wedding to go out to their car to listen to Indiana basketball. So I think this is a lot of, like, basketball fans that are starved for some sort of success. So now they're jumping in and becoming bigger football fans, to your point.
And it's a first. I mean, there's not been another chance for this to ever happen. Like, they've never been, this never happened. They've never won a national championship. I don't know, have they ever been number one in the country? I mean, this is pretty uncharted territory for Indiana. It's pretty amazing, but you're right. That basketball team, for being as proud as they are, they have stunk. For a while now.
Tried a lot of different. So I've spent a lot of my life like rooting for Indiana in the NCAA basketball tournament because that's just kind of what you do, right? Picture of Bob Knight in the living room hung. Like that's the kind of Hoosier experience. But I haven't felt any real pull towards that. I don't know why. But I mean, it's got to be a lot of fun. And I think it just speaks to how amazing it is to be a college football fan in this new system because new teams can emerge.
Yeah. That is what's really fun about this right now. And I know there's plenty of problems in regards to all of it, but I just think it's a couple of tweaks and adjustments, and you can get this thing dialed in pretty perfectly because it's a ton of fun to be a program that never really had a chance, and now all of a sudden you nail a head coach like Cignetti, and next thing you know, you're starting to build the program. Guys want to show up there, and they're doing it without any five-star recruits. They're not doing it with any five-star recruits.
Similar to Vandy, right? We're going to spread our dough around and get a bunch of quality guys.
Yeah, you get a stud coach in there that understands what he's doing, and then you start hitting on a couple of the recruits and especially the portal stuff, and you can go from a zero program to competing for a national championship seemingly overnight.
It's wild.
So I do think there are a lot of wonderful things about the new landscape that we are in right now in college football. Looks like the – I don't know if you guys have looked at this guy yet, but Oregon's got a safety we should be watching for tonight.
Yeah, I've heard. I have not studied the safety yet, but there are a lot of people that are very, very high on him. I might end up watching him after the game.
He's number 31.
Yep.
For the Oregon defense.
Yep.
If you're watching through a Cowboys lens tonight like you were watching
Hold
the Hurricanes.
Hold on, I'm about to give you a report on him.
Oh, you watched him?
I have.
Beautiful.
I've seen this.
Junior safety.
Yeah, I got to pull up my draft notes. Hold on just a second. I've seen this safety before.
Dylan Thieneman?
Thieneman, yeah, that's exactly right. Hold on 1 second. I got to pull up my notes.
I mean, he popped in the Tech game.
Yeah.
I mean, he will fill and smack you.
He's an exciting light.
He is.
He's a Caucasian gentleman.
I'm telling you this right.
Harrison Smith to his game, yeah. Huh?
I'm telling you this right now. He's a transfer from Purdue, by the way. So it's kind of interesting. But he was a blow-em-up guy at Purdue. Hold on 1 second. God, I got to pull up my notes. I'm messing around too much here.
It's all right.
Got a little John Lynch to his game, maybe?
Yeah, here we go. Gosh dang. Come on, Brian.
Stop
messing around. yeah, here we go. Get that roll. Free safety, my guy. After free safety. Come on, buddy. Get there.
Anybody got a little Eric Weddle to his game, maybe?
A little bit better than Eric Weddle.
That's impressive. If I'd take him.
Yeah.
Should be a first-round pick.
Hold on. I got it right here. Takes forever to do this, but here we are.
Okay. Kind of see Adam Archuleta.
Did I
miss something?
He's 6 foot. He's 205 pounds. He's a transfer from Purdue. He's an outstanding open field player. As sure as a tackle as you're going to see in this draft. He has impressive athletic profile for the position. Explosive closing burst when he comes closing on the ball. Does a really nice job of putting himself in position in order to make plays. Is not the type of player that's easily going to get fooled on a play. When he sees it, he's going to attack it. He's a violent wrap-up tackler. He does a really nice job of breaking on the ball, coming forward, getting the job done. He could drive through contact points in order to bring a ball carrier down. There's a lot of plays where you see him coming forward, or it's a screen and he's in space and he's the only guy out there tackling. He likes to play around the line of scrimmage. You could also play him at depth. He does a great job of playing with his eyes. Good at tracking the receiver as the ball, the pedal, the athletic ability, can mirror trigger on throws. Game is with top effort at all the time. He can make game-changing turnovers. Excuse me, I ran out of breath there. But, you know, you'll see him punch at the ball tonight. He'll punch at the ball and not miss the tackle. Yeah.
That's key.
This guy loves to compete. He loves to tackle. The way he's able to cover ground is impressive. His lack of height but toughness makes up for that. 6 foot, 205 pounds. So he's not the biggest, you know, one of these long guys. I watched a guy today from Toledo named Emmanuel McNeil Warren that's 6'2", you know, a little bit longer guy that way. But, yeah, this kid, Dylan Thieneman, he's number 31, as you said. He will show up in white tonight. You can watch him. They'll play him around the line of scrimmage. They'll play him back. But he'll make a lot of tackles for you as well.
Do you think he's a guy that can?
I'm in the second round. Actually, Downs is my first round safety, and then this guy's the second safety on the stack.
Okay. So he could play. He could play deep and play around the line of scrimmage.
I absolutely believe so. Yeah, the way he plays with his eyes leads me to believe that he could play as a true free. Yeah, but when you put him near the line of scrimmage or around where he could come rally and make plays, this guy is special that way.
You want to hear my scouting report on Oregon edge Mateo Uiagalelei?
Go ahead.
Yes, yeah. I
like to. I like to hear it.
What number is this guy?
Hang on, I'll tell you. Just
40, I think.
Yeah.
Or 10. He's 10.
Okay, so number 31 and number 10. That's who we're watching. Here we go. Gavin Dawson, scouting report.
Should go back to trying tight end.
Oh!
Oh, wow.
Parents are going to be disappointed. Both their sons are NFL busts.
Oh, he's DJ's brother?
Yeah.
He is DJ's brother. Yeah. Wow. That's
heartbreaking. You didn't
like him, huh?
It was more of a joke scouting report, but is he not that good?
He played big-time high school football at St. John Bosco.
Dawson, give him a scouting report on Sadiq, the Oregon tight end. You got one. Didn't you like him a lot?
Yeah. I didn't take many notes on him, but the guy is an absolute freak. Like, he will make diving catches like he is a wide receiver. He is a beast in the run game. It's just like he is such a tremendous athlete that what you're getting from a tight end is totally different, I think, than most tight ends happening in the NFL right now.
Wow.
I tell you what, they've got a, and also too, there's a we've got a.
I love the defensive tackle.
Defensive tackle, go ahead. Will he get it?
Washington.
Yeah, go.
Yeah, I'm a big fan.
6'3", 330. He wears number 52.
I put a one on him. I think he's a first round type of player. Yeah, I mean he's competitive. Tilts the field, plays on the opposite side, explosive first step. Jump at the snaps, awesome to shoot gaps, fast, violent hands. He's got the rip on the arm over, long arm to extend and keep linemen off of his chest. He sets linemen up with some feints. It's almost like a basketball player sometimes when he's coming up on the line of scrimmage. Holds his ground well, can fight off blocks in the run game. Was a monster versus Indiana in the first game they played against the run. So watch out for him tonight. 6'3", 330. I think he could easily be the most disruptive defensive tackle in the entire draft. I love this dude.
Ooh, yeah. Okay.
He doesn't have a lot of pass rush moves, but when he does come off, I mean, he gets fires, into blockers, and they have a hard time controlling this guy one-on-one. He can win cross-face. You see him play down the line, outside the tackle box. He could break down in the pocket. I mean, he keeps his pad level down. This is a massive guy that like I say, Indiana is going to have to keep a mind out of where number 52 is in that along that defensive line.
Okay, we prize picking tonight. We putting anything on this? We know Dawson's taking Oregon +3.
Yeah,
just got to cover that thing. Don't have to come home with the victory, but that would be fun.
Yeah, and I have no feel for this game. I got the gambling buzz back in me. I've won a couple in a row.
You got the eye of the tiger right now. I can see it.
Yeah, I'm on a heater.
Fernando Mendoza right now over 208.5 passing yards is the most bet player prop in tonight's game. Dante Moore over 227.5 passing yards is the fifth most bet player
Dude,
prop.
They had his
for
number.
Tonight. He was seeing ghosts. Dude, that defense, I'm telling you, like that Bryant Haynes, we talked about him on Love of the Star.
Yeah, we did.
Chuck is very familiar with his work as well. I don't imagine that the Cowboys are really going to be giving him a ringy-dingy for the defensive coordinator job, but he should be. I mean, if you're looking into the college ranks and everybody wants to talk about Matt Patricia
kind of a
with
guy,
Ohio State.
Was it VMI? Was it, no, that was our linebacker guy. It was VMI.
Yeah,
that was,
no, but he was at JMU with Cignetti.
Small kind of guy, but everywhere he's gone, their defense has been, like, wrecking people.
Yeah. How stoked do you think Cignetti's family is? I mean, he's bumping along, like, as a decent assistant coach. He's into his 60s. You're like, it ain't happening for dad.
Right.
We got to go bust our ass now and actually make something of ourselves. Yeah. Now he's heading for $12 million a year.
He just got it. 65. Yeah, he just got it. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a great point. His kids were wondering, like, are we going to have a nest egg? Like, are we actually going to have to do something
Dad
here?
Dad effed up and was a coach all these years.
At the retirement age,
yes,
Dad pops financially, and now you guys are set. Gosh, that is pretty special.
He does need a coaching shirt under the quarter zip, though.
Yeah, did you hear that, Broadus was saying?
Yeah.
This dude wears a quarter zip.
No shirt.
With no undershirt.
Yeah. It's a guy that works out.
Yeah. That it, but you look at
those
him.
Nasty-ass quarter zips at this point.
Yeah. Oh, those are
away,
disgusting.
Bro.
Those
they
are
probably
disgusting.
Stank.
Coaching in those things.
Yeah.
Just getting angry and
sweat,
sweating
spit.
Everywhere. Oh, my gosh. That is a nasty way to go about things. But he's a
That's
different.
A savage if you're doing that.
He's a different breed, this Cignetti. Yeah. And I'm telling you, if you haven't watched a ton of Indiana football, you will be mesmerized by their defense and the way they approach it.
All right, Eric.
Not only just the individual players, but the schematic ways that they'll get free rushers. Like you're talking about Dante Moore, and he's kind of putting the blender in that first matchup. And hopefully you see him take strides now that he's seen this team before and gets the game plan for him once again. But they'll get free rushers on you because the simulated pressures and moving dudes around, it's a lot of fun.
I'm looking at Oregon wearing white today. I just hope that Miami gets to wear their all white.
I know.
I mean, they're on a hell of a. It reminds me very much of the 94, the Super Bowl team with the 49ers. They wore their throwback uniforms all through the playoffs. They petitioned and got it, and they were able to wear their throwbacks all the way through.
That's legit. And is that when they beat the Bengals?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, no. Chargers.
Chargers.
Chargers. Yeah. Chargers. Yep.
Yeah, they were wearing the red tops, I think, versus the Bengals. Yeah. Okay. Now, the other thing I wanted to throw out there, did you guys see the Dick Fangio ESPN story with the Eagles right now as they prep for the postseason?
What's he doing now?
Is he about done? Is he thinking about quitting?
No. Headline reads, what drives the Eagles defense? Meatballs.
Oh.
He's making meatballs every week for the fellas?
The Italian stallion that is Dick Fangio. He apparently has a... He gives out the meatballs award to his standout defensive players after games.
Mm.
Okay, he's got a secret recipe from his Italian grandparents who moved from Italy to Pennsylvania in the year 1919.
Mm.
This recipe has stayed with him and his family. Apparently, the meatballs are legendary, and all of these Eagles defenders are trying to earn the right to be the meatball award-winning player of the game. And these guys talk about it and how delicious it is. You have other guys that haven't won the award yet. They're like, I don't even want to taste it. Like, you'll have players that win it, and they're like, yo, try it. And they're like, no, I can't even. It's like kissing or touching the Super Bowl trophy or something.
Don't want to curse it.
Like, you don't want to curse it.
Stay hungry
for
it.
And so you have a lot of these guys that are staying hungry for Dick Fangio's meatballs.
I think the meatball sub is a top five sandwich all time, right?
Yeah.
I'm with you.
Yours, anyway.
Yeah.
With a lot of marinara in there?
Yes, yes.
A lot of marinara.
Thick cheese on top? What is that?
Yes.
The grated mozzarella?
Grated mozzarella.
Doritos on the side?
Doritos on the side?
I'm with it. Okay. No, you did not cross any lines.
Right. Or Lay's.
If you sprinkle a little Doritos on that thing, I wouldn't be mad at you.
On the side.
Wait, you sprinkle what?
The Doritos on the
Okay, I'm not mad at that.
You know what I mean? Put a little chip in the sando.
Funyuns is crazy, but I'll have to try it.
The Funyuns would be because of the kind of the onion flavor with the meatball.
I'm not mad at that.
Yeah, so following a game on a Monday.
Dawson just looked at me like I was an idiot.
Yeah.
Dawson says he loves my meatball, the subs I make, and I put onions in that thing, and he just keeps eating them.
Hey, I guess I like onions then.
Eagles defensive tackle Jordan Davis.
I do, Dawson. I do it every time, and I'm like.
The Hurtado tacos and Broadus's meatball sandwich where I like onions.
Yeah, they cook down.
They do. My middle daughter calls them onions. She throws an M in there inexplicably, and I love it so much. Jordan Davis, Eagles defensive tackle, is quoted as saying, it's in a brown paper bag, man. He's a straight Italian dude for real. Cooper DeJean's like, he just stands up there, and he's like, all right, here's the meatball player of the game or whatever. And DeJean says they're good meatballs. He says the sauce is good. I don't really know how to judge meatballs, I guess, but they were good. Davis gives him a two thumbs up. You can't let Coach Dick get too big in his head. But he makes a pretty damn good meatball. Another guy said, gives him 7 out of 10, pretty good.
Yikes.
So it's like, man, are these guys not respecting the legendary recipe of the Fangio family?
Once you get a meatball dialed in, I think it's next level. You know, I think it can be one of the most screwed up items. They're spongy. They're not seasoned properly. Too bready, There's a lot of ways to mess them up, but when you nail it, it might be the best thing to do with ground beef.
Yeah, it is, man. It's special.
Okay, we got a
Somebody said throw the ranch in the meatball sub, a little bit of ranch in there.
Oh, people do that.
Yeah, okay. I'm with that. I'm not mad.
Yeah, I don't
it's
like
a slap in the face.
I don't like dunking stuff in ranch, but I like cooking with ranch.
I do.
Oh,
do
yeah,
cooking with ranch.
Yeah, marinades.
It's like the seasoning or actual ranch?
No, like the actual ranch sauce. Yeah,
buttermilk ranch.
It's a binder for your pork butt.
Bind it.
Yeah, there's a lot of good things you can do. All righty, thanks, Chief. There's a Friday news dump here for you. Most Friday evenings at 6:20, we'll step aside. We'll come back with the Fan After Dark. Ask them how they would vote in our G Bag of the Year. It went to a vote off. You can participate right now at G Bag Nation. It's going to be a 2.5-day poll, so we'll have the winner for you Monday right off the top. We'll ask him about that though in the Anthony Davis news. Another injury coming up next year. It's the G Bag.
So here's the thing with homemade meals: eating them is great, but all the chopping and measuring and cleanup. Not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Bag Nation of the Fan. Well, it looks like my two-game betting win streak is going to conclude tonight. Indiana, first play of the game, pick six. There's 14:49 to go in the game. Oregon has the ball again, and they are now down 7-0 in the Peach Bowl out there, college football playoff semifinal action. We'll hand it off now to the Fan After Dark. Fred and Blake, and enjoy this game and talk at you all night long. Gentlemen, how we doing?
We're excited, elated, and infatuated with our game tonight. We got to do it yesterday.
No SkyCast, though.
No SkyCast. We'll try to figure it out. Big SkyCast fan, but I'm excited.
Blake turned me on to the SkyCast. Tell you what, I was not a SkyCast guy, and it's just a different way of watching football. It gives you playing Madden vibes almost.
Yes, sir. I think they need to change. I think they at least need to give you that option in any game to change the cameras, change the
broadcasters. You know who's a fan of your turning the game down while watching? Cooper Kupp.
One and the same.
Then he clowned on my boy Chris Collinsworth, which I didn't appreciate, but it's all right.
That's low-hanging fruit, eh?
I mean, it is.
Here's Everybody's a guy. Doing that.
It is, right?
Did he do it behind his back, or did he do it
did it on Twitter.
Okay.
Blasted him on Twitter.
Yeah.
Bust all over him on Twitter.
That might be the most hated. Speaking of that, who's your guys' vote for G-Bag of the Year? You can get on and vote right now at G-Bag Nation on Twitter. It's down to two, the Rowdy Tellez soap opera or the Bobby Belt diss track. Why?
I want to go ahead and influence the Tolos. I want my vote, since obviously my vote doesn't count as far as on the Twitter poll, but I want my voice. I want my voice to be heard so that the votes go.
You can click it on the Twitter poll.
Yeah, no, I don't want to
vote on Twitter.
Three best clips, easily. Broadus,
the question,
and Jared Sandler in the question. Yeah. That had me absolutely rolling on the ground.
I was crying out loud.
Every time you thought it was going to end,
when you thought Jared was going to start answering.
I wouldn't let that question in.
Because I was listening to you last night, and
I do listen to a lot of baseball games. I do.
You glazing Pickens was
that
number
was good.
Two. Just look up.
That was good.
That was easy.
Okay. How do you track the ball so well? Let's look up.
Let me write that. And then number three had to be, I'd heard the Rowdy Tellez, but hearing it with context and you doubling down and be like, no, for real. Come on, cut the BS. How many Sandos?
You're fat. You didn't tell us. How many sandwiches do you eat?
You're fitting right in.
And he didn't even answer. He said, Sandos?
That first question of mine.
Bobby Belt's diss track is currently leading the vote off at G-Bag Nation with 56.7%.
Beating Rowdy Tellez, bro?
It is.
That's crazy.
Completely two different.
But that's crazy. Right.
Two different ones. You know, a lot of hard work behind the scenes versus just off the cuff.
That was a good one too. It's like picking your favorite kid.
It was tough, man.
Not really.
It's hard to do big picture, but every day, it's easy.
They make it easy for me.
What about you, Fred? What was your favorite?
My favorite one. I got to go with the Rowdy Tellez. I mean, because not only did we get Gavin dogging this dude out, but then we got our boy Chiafalo just kind of wading in, calling him girthy as all get out.
It's really, really bad moment.
Girthy
for
as
me.
Hell.
His delayed
girthy
responses.
Girthy as hell.
His delayed responses the entire interview would also make this
It sucks
too.
Because he liked it at first. I should have just kept it moving.
Yeah.
But then I had to sink more into it, and that's when he realized, you know what?
Yeah, haven't heard that one before.
I don't think I like that one.
Yeah, it reminded me of from California. Oh, you're from California. You're fat.
Catch the ball.
Why not be a girthquake? Come on, makes sense.
We're going to cross midfield here. They got a third and seven.
Dawson
just had a big drop. I just tried to order a pizza. It's a 70-minute wait right now.
Why don't you pick it up on the way home?
That's what I was trying to do. I was trying to do a pickup order.
They said, are you the Rowdy Tellez guy?
Morning, they're so backed up. Okay, what's coming up on the show?
Was it 7-Eleven?
First down.
This is my favorite, Zalat's.
There you go. A lot of people like that.
That's a dinner pizza.
Did we confirm? Did we confirm 740?
Yeah, 740.
Okay. Grant Afsith, Mavs go-to guy, 740. Obviously, the news outside of G-Bag of the Year. The other devastating news, no AD.
That is crazy.
Wild. But I've got a hot take at 720 on how you fix this.
Is that bad news or good news? You think that AD's hurt, maybe out for the rest of the season? Overall.
Different contexts.
It's bad because I felt like you could at least get something for him, and now what are you going to get?
Yeah, you got to wait till this summer.
Some idiotic team was going to give you a 28 first.
Technically, I think you still can trade him now. The value is going to be paperclips.
Slim Pickens, a couple G League All-Stars.
This is a bad thing. He literally never played five in a row.
There's a light at the end of the tunnel. I'll tell you at 720.
Looking forward to that. Thanks to Lucius Alexander and the Pimp Cup Master Control here, 75 and
635. Happy birthday, LA.
Went five flawless.
Happy birthday.
It's a birthday weekend for him. If you see him, beer him. Thanks to Woolchuck and Chiafalo and Broadus, and I'm Gavin Dawson. Till Monday at 2. We'll announce the winner Monday at the top of the show. G-Bag of the Year. Vote now at G-Bag Nation. Follow us all when you get there. You're going in with the nation. At ease. We'll feel the rhythm of the evening picking us up high.